Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here again with another video brought to you courtesy of Rivalry.gg. If you use the referral code at the bottom there of your screens, RLS, you'll be able to qualify for $350 worth of benefits thanks to their VIP club. If you do that, you're not just supporting Rivalry.gg, you're supporting the channel. So look, what are we going to be talking about today? Well, I did promise you there was going to be some updates of what is probably the most important legal case that's going on right now. If you're a streamer, if you're in streaming culture, if you're interested in Twitch and what's going on over there, and that is the Phantom Lord versus Twitch lawsuit. What we did last time was we kind of gave you a highlight of what Phantom Lord's lawyers had put forward in terms of arguments. It's been going on for a long time now. The summary of the previous video was basically Phantom Lord's lawyers had submitted arguments to kind of say that Twitch's arguments were very weak, that they didn't cite the correct precedent, that they didn't understand what the legal definitions of fraud actually were, and that the damages that they were asking for, actually there was no grounds for them because they couldn't give a monetary amount because it was based on ephemeral concepts. That's pretty much a summary of what was going on. It looked to be solid arguments. I mean, obviously if you look at any legal document in isolation, lawyers make solid arguments. That's what lawyers do. You have to be a pretty bad one not to be able to do it. All we've got here today is Twitch's response to what Phantom Lord's lawyers were alleging. And it's pretty incendiary stuff. You know, this was filed at the end of July. Again, these are publicly obtainable documents. Anyone following the case, you know, it's super interesting. I urge you to go and do it. But what we're going to do is we're going to basically go into the sort of highlights, the cliff notes, if you will. As always, there's lots of case law that's kind of cited with this stuff. And I'm going to basically break it down for you because this is, for me at least, a representation of Twitch's lawyers really amping it up. They reject a lot of the arguments that were made by Phantom Lord's lawyers, as you'd probably expect. But the tone and the language that's used in this documentation really becomes a lot harsher, a lot more clear. They're not playing around anymore. So we'll get to the first point here, which is made on page 2. This is in a reiteration of the facts of the case. Obviously, this has been in every legal document to date. Just in case you haven't been following this, and this might be the first video you come across on this channel, you can see here that Twitch's lawyers point out that Varga would represent, he would abide by Twitch's rules and guidelines. However, Twitch began to receive numerous user reports that Varga was violating these rules and guidelines. Most egregiously, in June 2016, Varga ran a promotion for the website CSGO Shuffle. CSGO Shuffle was a website for gambling CSGO skins that operated against CSGO publisher Valve's terms and conditions. Varga's promotions included a CSGO skins giveaway, whereby Varga gave $100,000 worth of free CSGO skins to subscribers to his Twitch channel by referring those subscribers to CSGO Shuffle, which is known for the rest of the legal document as the skins giveaway. And during the skins giveaway, Varga broadcast videos of himself winning jackpots on CSGO Shuffle to entice Twitch users to subscribe to his Twitch channel to get free skins and to participate in lotteries on CSGO Shuffle. And this is where it gets interesting. This term lottery has been used a little bit, but this next line here is again a very important one in terms of the case. It says, but unbeknownst to Twitch, Varga had an ownership interest in CSGO Shuffle. CSGO Shuffle was operating against Valve's terms and conditions, and Varga was using his affiliation with CSGO Shuffle to rig the jackpots to artificially achieve the winnings he was promoting on Twitch, potentially violating promotions and illegal lottery laws. So they acknowledge it potentially, but this seems to be the big kind of thrust now, saying that actually the promotions that were going on with CSGO Shuffle could indeed themselves be a violation of law as it pertains to lotteries. That is, you know, a kind of big deal because they're obviously now saying, well, you know, our hands were kind of forced to act. As you go through the document, which has kind of point by point responses to the previous video, which I'm not going to kind of bore you with, I'm going to try and keep this a lot shorter than the last one, because I know not everyone has the time to listen to me read legal documents in my lovely dulcet tones. But you can see here that one of the things they had to respond to was Twitch alleges affirmative misrepresentations as well as actionable non-disclosures. Varga attempts to avoid liability for his deceptive actions by relying on an overly technical and incomplete reading of the standard for fraud, which we know from the previous video, this was the big argument his lawyers presented, that actually what he had done didn't meet the technical requirements to be considered fraud under law, which, again, as they outlined it, they cited the necessary case law. There seemed to be a strong argument there. Not according to Twitch's lawyers. Varga asserts that Twitch's fraud and negligent misrepresentation claims fail to allege actionable affirmative misrepresentations. This is both factually inaccurate, as Varga's own demurrer confirms, and a specious characterization of the law. Contrary to Varga's narrow reading of the applicable standard, fraud is a generic term which embraces all the multifarious means which human ingenuity can devise and are resorted to by one individual to get an advantage over another. No definite and invariable rule can be laid down as a general proposition defining fraud, and it includes all surprise, trick, cunning, dissembling, and unfair ways by which another is deceived. And this is according to Wells versus Zenz in 1927. So, it's quite a long-standing piece of case law there. Then the next line here is, the statutes for California expressly confirm this view, providing that any other act fitted to deceive is actual fraud. And they say here, this is according to Bernard Witkin, a summary of California law, 11th edition, in the contracts law, number 287 of 2018, and citing the civilian code of 1572. So it then adds, Varga engaged in multifarious conduct to take advantage of his relationship with Twitch for his own personal gain. He cannot escape liability for these actions based on a hyper-technical reading of the law. So the argument that Twitch's lawyers are putting forward there is that, sure, you have found a very technical interpretation of what would constitute fraud, and you're saying it doesn't meet that criteria, but there's all this case law over here that says actually any method through which you are attempting to deceive people is recognized as fraud under law, which kind of makes all of those arguments that we went into in the previous video kind of moot. They no longer seem as impressive in light of that. And again, that's just my reading as a layman. Obviously, I'm not a legal mind by any stretch, although I do take great interest in reading about these things. Then the next thing, the cross-complaint also alleges that the representations by Varga that he won jackpots on CSGO Shuffle were false. This was another argument put forward. And this is countered by Twitch's lawyers thusly. The cross-complaint alleges with specificity that Varga asked Mr. Duhau. Mr. Duhau, by the way, is the character you might know as Joris from the Skype logs that were floating out there that we kind of publicized and signal boosted. He asks, mind helping me win a few rounds? Need some help winning a few rounds? Lost a 10K one. And so give me skin so I can advertise to 26,000 plus people. And then it points to where that is in the document, because obviously it's a piece of evidence. It says finding, it said, and then it also cites some case law here, and it says these allegations show not only that Varga's representations about his jackpot winnings were false, but Varga knew they were false, or at a minimum, he had no reasonable ground for believing his statements to be true and intended Twitch and its users to rely on them for his own profit. And it also shows another insert explaining that Varga's CSGO skin giveaway promotion was used directly to increase his Twitch subscribership. It also says that Twitch's reliance on these misrepresentations, as Varga was aware, Twitch requires and relies on its users and partners to agree to and comply with certain rules and guidelines, and relies on them to comply with those to ensure the integrity of its services. Twitch relied on Varga's representations that he would only broadcast authorized trustworthy content, and thus relied on Varga's promotions of CSGO Shuffle to be legitimate, and Varga's representations to its users about his jackpot winnings on the site to be accurate. Then cites here, it says, if you see Lovejoy versus the AT&T Corporation, which is a case from 2001. It says, one who makes a fraudulent misrepresentation is subject to liability to the persons or class of persons whom he intends or has reason to expect to act or to refrain from action in reliance upon the misrepresentation. By permitting Varga to run the skins giveaway in reliance on these misrepresentations, or at least by not taking disciplinary action against Varga sooner, Twitch was harmed because its owners were exposed to and defrauded by Varga's scam. Very strong word there. This injured the very core of Twitch's business to provide a safe and trustworthy environment for users to enjoy its social video services. And yes, then it cites again more inserts into the legal document. So you can see from this response as well, pretty much what they are saying is that, look, these arguments are incredibly specious. They don't really hold up, and that Phantom Lord knew all along that what the promotion he was running wasn't honest on the surface of it. He couldn't possibly have known otherwise. There's these Skype logs that substantiate that, which it's interesting to see them talked about more actually in this document. They haven't been a big point of kind of contention or discussion. We still don't know. I couldn't even tell you who actually popularized those and who put them out into the public domain. But for the first time, here we are, and we're talking about them kind of in intimate detail and saying, look, if these Skype logs are genuine, which, again, they are, and it's kind of been sort of acknowledged as such by Phantom Lord's lawyers, by them saying they were obtained illegally. They didn't say they were falsified. They specifically stated they were obtained illegally. Then there is no argument to be made that Phantom Lord didn't know that this wasn't on the up and up, that this wasn't honest. So then the next part was, and this was a big talking point, we went into this in quite some depth in the last video, and this was about Twitch alleging it was damaged as a result of Varga's fraud. And what Phantom Lord's lawyers had basically said was that they can't really prove damages, they can't really say he caused the damages, and they can't give a monetary amount for what the damages would be. There's just not enough there, there's no substance. So it says here that Varga also asserts that Twitch's claims for damages are insufficiently pled, but again ignores key allegations in the cross-complaint and relies on a single citation of Black's Law Dictionary definition of refund to support his outlandish theory that Varga's fraud actually benefited Twitch. And again, this was another argument that Phantom Lord's lawyers had made. I mean, I was a little bit flabbergasted by this one. He actually said that the promotion itself benefited Twitch, whether it was on the up and up or not, because they had all these new subscribers come flooding in. So yes, even though it was bullshit, look at all the money it made Twitch, so therefore it's all good. As if that in itself was the kind of, the means, the ends justifying the means, rather. Which, again, is a very bold argument. You can see here the term they use about it, an outlandish theory. They say here that Varga is correct that a cause of action for fraud requires a showing of resulting damage, and although a complaint shall contain a demand for judgment for the relief to which the pleader claims to be entitled, including the amount of damages demanded, the specific dollar amount is necessary only when a default judgment is to be entered. So in other words, we don't need to come up with an exact specific amount of the damages we sustained. The fact is that we can demonstrate we did sustain some damages, and to argue to the contrary is ridiculous. It also mentions that Varga had knowledge of material facts about CSGO Shuffle and Twitch. Oh, sorry, and Twitch would have acted differently had it been aware of those facts. Varga had a duty to disclose of those facts based on his ongoing contractual relationship with Twitch, and thus Twitch has stated claims not only based on affirmative misrepresentations, but also actionable non-disclosures. So, furthermore, to the point of the damages, I thought this was an interesting paragraph here on page 12. It says, Varga's contorted view that Twitch somehow benefited from Varga's fraud is nonsense. Twitch receives no benefit from and is not in the business of fraudulently procuring subscribers. To the contrary, Twitch undertakes to prevent and protect its users from such fraud. It was thus harmed by Varga's conduct, which exposed users to fraud and diminished the goodwill and reputation Twitch has cultivated with its users for providing a safe and trusted environment for social video sharing. It shows here as well the large number of fraud-based chargebacks that's included in the documentation. Which says here, both the fraudulent nature of Varga's skins giveaway and also the objectionable nature of the content based on the reaction of Twitch's users. And it also adds that Twitch also received an extraordinarily high number of reports from users raising concerns about the content of Mr. Varga's broadcasting. Twitch has alleged facts sufficient to show at the pleading stage how it was harmed as a result of Varga's deceptive actions. Through discovery and development of the case, it will determine the full extent of the damages. So in other words, it says, watch this space. We're going to be able to demonstrate how much money we're actually owed as part of our cross complaint. It answers a few other things here, which I don't think are as important. Those are kind of the big counter arguments in this document. It does say in section 6, Twitch's fraud and negligent misrepresentation claims are not duplicative of its breach of contract claims. That was an argument entered by Phantom Lord's lawyers, that they were just simply duplicating complaints and therefore they weren't substantial. It says right at the bottom of that, what's more, Twitch's complaint alleges that its rules and guidelines apply to protect Twitch users. It says here, Twitch's terms of service, rules of conduct, and the agreement content that makes misrepresentations to, scams, or defrauds Twitch users. Here, Twitch separately alleges that Varga is tortiously liable for fraud and misrepresentations committed against Twitch during the performance of his contract. So the counter arguments here that are entered all seem to be pretty solid. It cites some pretty long-standing case law to basically say, yes, we consider these actions to be fraudulent. It makes a specific reference to the Skype log saying, look, there is no way you can argue a lack of awareness, at least, because we've got these Skype logs that substantiate what was going on. And on top of that, it also basically says that, look, we understand this case is going to be ongoing for some time. And once we get to a point where we're entering evidence and discovery, we're going to be able to demonstrate to a dollar amount how much damage the Phantom Lord incident has done to Twitch, which I find very interesting indeed. I have no idea how they're going to come up with that idea and come up with that figure. So, yes, crazy stuff still. I wanted to keep everybody up to date because I know it's something that, for some reason, isn't being widely reported in the mainstream games press, isn't really being reported in the esports press, and seems to be kind of flying on under everyone's radar. I get all the documents sent to me, and I'm kind of reading through them as and when I have time, work permitting. So I just wanted to update you all. So there we have it. So again, thanks very much for watching this video. Thanks very much for supporting the channel. Thanks very much for supporting Rivalry.gg, who support us. And we will see you on the next video.